Good afternoon from a damp, windy and chilly Cork, and welcome to another episode in the Festival of Audio, which is called February. Now, as soon as I heard that the latest topic for discussion and presentation was this, where would you like to be put if you were going to be put somewhere for the rest of your life? And you have three choices: to be put in a museum, to be put in a zoo, or be put in a library. My mind started racing in all sorts of directions. The very first one that attracted me to my attention was the zoo. And I immediately thought, oh, the question is asking me whether I'd like to, you know, exchange places with the gorillas, or join the gorillas, join the chimpanzees in the zoo. And I thought, interesting. I wonder what it would be like to be in an object of attention in the zoo. And then I realised, of course, that there's another possible meaning of would you like to spend the rest of your life in a zoo? And it is, you know, would you like to go wandering around a zoo and spend time looking, noticing, even attending, working perhaps even, with the animals, for the animals, on behalf of the animals, maybe even participating in educational programs to do with the animals, entertaining kids, entertaining everybody, or educating everybody. And I thought, well, they're two different interpretations. And I wouldn't dismiss out of hand the attractiveness of being in a zoo space where somebody brought you your food every day, you were given a decent bit of shelter, and you didn't actually have to do anything except, for sake of argument, meditate. It could be a long Tibetan retreat, for sake of argument, where you would just, you know, focus on your breath and ridding yourself of any distractions. And what would that be like for the rest of my life? And even, you know, it might be possible to, because it would be a human in the zoo, for people, in addition to throwing in bits of food, but to chuck in books for me to read, and even chuck in pencils for me to write in a notebook. So to be locked up in a safely, and that's an important thing, very little chance of you being, you know, assaulted or whatever in your own space within the zoo, just so long as the only animals that I would have to spend close time with were the gorillas and the elephants. They're the two. I remember as a child my first experience of going to the zoo, and there I had a boa constrictor, I think it was, or something like a boa constrictor, wrapped around my neck. The big heavy snake, I seem to remember. But anyway, that was thrilling enough for a young lad who was still in short trousers. And then the next thrilling thing that happened, this was Dublin Zoo at the time, and I think the next was a ride on an elephant. And I remember climbing up on top of something or other, some stand that enabled you to get into something which was along the side of the elephant, and a few people at a time, each side of the elephant, were able to go for a ride. So I've had a ride on an elephant. I haven't slid down an elephant's trunk, but I'm very, very fond of elephants, I have to say. Now, I better make clear that I'm in favour of animals being, some animals, I must put it this way, being kept in a zoo. I'm persuaded that there are real unbalance, real benefits to having zoos, and having very good zoos at that. And I don't mean crappy old zoos where the animals are kept in dreadful conditions, but I mean state-of-the-art zoos where animals are given plenty of room, and people can thereby have a great education. Kids can enjoy it. And I'm not here to argue the case, but I just want to make clear, in case you're wondering, So that's me in relation to the zoo. So there's a certain amount of attraction to spending the rest of my life in a zoo. Now, I'm a son of a bookseller. I grew up and people who bought books put clothes on my back, shoes on my feet, food in my mouth, and educated me. So I'm terribly, terribly grateful to people who bought books. And where would I be if it wasn't for books myself? I didn't read an awful lot when I was young, by the way. I did an awful lot of reading after I was young, after I went off to university, and there I became a voracious reader, but that's another topic. I'm not like Topgold, who has counted the books in his house, and I think he said 755 this morning in an audio that he made, that he has 755 books. I've never ever counted the number of books, and some of my books are in boxes in the loft of my house and haven't been opened in the last 7 years. And every now and again I have a cull. And the other thing about keeping books, I have to say, is that certainly for me personally, and I'd be very interested how it is with you, but for me personally, attachment to books and keeping books on bookshelves after I have, we'll say, read them for the first time, has nothing to do with my wish to keep them and read them again. But it has an awful lot to do with nostalgia. It has an awful lot to do with memory. It has an awful lot to do with the books around me, I suppose, to put it very crudely, make a statement about the life I've had. And it's almost as if the books are a biography of me, that you could reconstruct my life from the books if you could date them. Now, I've had many, many throwouts of novels. I don't keep novels, but I do keep poetry books. I do keep business books. And I do keep, well, things like travel books and history books. I keep philosophy books. I keep books about photography. And I'm not in my library now, so I couldn't tell you what exactly I have. I do definitely keep some novels. I kind of wonder, where's my copy of The Leopard? You know, I'm sure I wouldn't ever have thrown that out. But I'm pretty sure I don't have a copy of Middlemarch in the house anymore. Anyway, that's the point about books. I have a thing about books, so I'm almost, and I can't pass a bookshop without buying another book. So it's fatal for me to walk down the main street in any decent town or city, because, you know, you'll almost certainly pass a bookshop. And, you know, I like to physically have the book. I also use Kindle or Kindle books on Kindle and read them on my iPhone, but that's another story altogether. So the idea of being stranded for the rest of my life in a library is very, very attractive. If it was the British Library, which would be I suppose if I had to pick one, that would be my number one. Although I have terribly fond memories of the old British Library, British Museum Library, as it was called, in the old days. But that's another story. But the British Library today is just a phenomenal place. And it doesn't only have books, I think. And that's the other thing about libraries. They're a long way beyond only having books. So I obviously couldn't read all those books and wouldn't be bothered doing it. But the other thing is, being stuck in a library for the rest of my life, I'd tremendous amount of contact with people, because people would do a certain amount of reading. There'd be a coffee room attached to it, and I could hang out there, and I could write in a library, no problem at all. I just have to bring in an endless supply of Moleskine notebooks in which to write, and it would be perfectly normal to have a laptop with me, and there'd be Wi-Fi there as well. So that would be, and I could also then, I suppose, again, following the thing from the zoo, I could volunteer to do a job in the library, like cataloguing books or opening boxes containing books and there must be jobs dusting ancient volumes. There must be jobs like that. There are probably lots of things about books that I don't know. Yeah, putting new covers on books that are very old. I mean, I have never made a cover for a book, and yet I look at some covers on books and I'm full of admiration for the craftsman's craft skills that have gone into making the cover for the book. So there's an awful lot to be said for spending the rest of my life in a library. Yeah, I would certainly hope to get that series of novels written, that series of philosophy books written, that series of books about opera written, I wouldn't be much good for books about cookery now. Hopeless, because you can't bring food into a library and do practice. But my goodness, all the great things you could do there. And people could visit me while I was there, of course. People could visit me. And I could set up a little table where I could say, you know, a library is a very quiet place, everybody has to be very sedate, but I could set up a booth for, you know, so people could come and talk to me. And they could bring along their book and they could have a chat with me about their book. And even if I hadn't read the book, they could talk to me about their book. And I could just listen and be educated by them, shake their hand and thank them very much after their, you know, 15 minutes or even 30 minutes with me, because I'd have plenty of time. Very attractive thing to go to their library. But museum, to be a museum piece. Now, there are all sorts of museums. So to be exhibited in a museum as, you know, an example of a certain type of Homo sapiens. And in these modern museums, which don't just have old things in them, there must be some kind of a museum where the exhibits are mobile. I could easily imagine a museum where people are, and this would be a humorous one, people are rigged up to a puppet, as if they were puppets, and the human beings are move around as if they were being controlled by the puppet master. Anyway, look, back to the museum. There is, I mean, the obvious place for me in the, I mean, I don't know the world's greatest museums, I suppose, but I do think the British Museum would stack up there as a place. And, you know, when I used to go into the British Museum on a daily basis, and that's another story for another time. That was when I was living in London a very long time ago, before I actually moved there. But I spent a whole summer going into the British Museum practically every day. Mainly the library, I have to admit. But going around the British Museum, going down to see the Egyptian stuff, going down to see the Greek stuff, all the booty that was brought back from these places by the collectors. But apart from that, there must be just phenomenal things there. And, you know, in the museum, you know, I could learn how to decipher the, what do you call the stone? The, my brain is gone. It'll come back as soon as I try and think about it. The stone that was deciphered and enabled us to read hieroglyphics, right? And it's not Albert Stone or something like that. But anyway, this is embarrassing. But never mind, I can't remember. But the key point about it is that being in a museum is a fantastic educational experience. And nowadays, museums would be into, good, really great museums would be into virtual reality, augmented reality, enhanced reality, spooky reality, all of the different realities that you could have. And there'd be no end of ability to travel the world, because the way augmented reality and virtual reality is going, you can travel the Earth everywhere, and you can probably travel into space too. But you could be there, and my friend James Corbett would be able to phone me up, because nobody said that you can't have a mobile phone in these places, in the museum, and he could give me directions on how I could get to the... He's Aeropreneur on Twitter, by the way. he could help me to gain the best experience out of this new form of technology, and the thinking around it and everything. And I'd be quite sure that the museum would fairly early on start to collect objects which are smart objects. Certainly the museum that I'd be in favour of would have a big amount of smart objects. It'd have a whole load of smartphones in it too. And I would be able to examine and learn from and try out and everything like that, these places. So that's a very, very big attraction in the museum. And of course, in the museum, I could write books. I could, I'd have no trouble writing books. I'm pausing now to see, should I go out again? No, I'd have no trouble writing books. There'd be plenty of things to write there. There'd be plenty of things to eat off, because there'd be loads of things in the museum when it's all closed down at night. You know, you could eat off the most wonderful plates. Nobody would be, maybe I'd be locked up at night there. And maybe I'd have the keys to the boxes where there'd be incredibly valuable things. And I could even eat off plates that Louis XIV used to eat off. Those kind of things. I'm not sure which country I'd like to be in a museum, but the only one I really could speak with any confidence about, the British Museum. Be very interested to know what museums you'd recommend. Top Gold was certainly on about this morning, about the Smithsonian. To the best of my knowledge, well, just what little I picked up this morning, the Smithsonian is a library. I don't know if it's also a museum. The only thing I would like to have in my particular museum is that instead of it being purely objet d'art of the type I've referred to, ceramics and metal and stuff like that, I would very much like it to be a museum which had paintings. So I'd like it to be a museum of paintings. And, you know, look, I suppose I can't ask for all the paintings. So if I had to, I think I'd probably go for modern art. Certainly from, let's say, Courbet, that French painter in the 1870s or 1880s, I'd go from him on, and that would get me all the Impressionists as well, and that would be fantastic. So look, you know, I'm forced to choose which one I'd like best, and so I'm going to drop the zoo out. And then I'm left with either a museum or a library. And do you know what I thought I was going to say? A library? I really did think I was going to say a library. But now that I've explored the variety in a museum, my choice comes down in favour of the museum. So look, thanks a million for coming on this journey with me. I'm fascinated to know what your own journey will be. And look, have a great weekend. It's Paul O'Mahony on the 21st, I think it is, of February 2015. I just need to double check that. Yeah, 21st of February 2015. Wishing you a great, great weekend. And thank you very much, Sassy Cat, for coming up again with another brilliant topic. Bye-bye for now.